Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We open up our shiur today in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis began the investigation of from where do we know that Mechusar Begodim, that a Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash without the full number of required Kohen garments, that he is Mechalel Avoda. As far as the markings are concerned in our marking system, you'll notice that on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, there was a series of triangles that started, and they were numbered off as well to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in the little space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. We saw there 1 and 2. On this Amud, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we will see halfway down the page number 3 and then a number 4. These are all sources that deal with the issue of Chilul Avoda B'Mechusar Begodim. The Gemara at each stage we'll have to analyze and clarify why I need an additional source. Why wasn't the previous source or the original source sufficient? The Gemara that we are picking up with today is 4 lines from the top. It begins with a bracketed section, and you'll see on the inside margin we have a little explanation of these brackets. Hesper HaSograim HaGemara Mamshicha Acharkach. The Gemara will continue after the brackets. L'shoil v'ho yesh mekoros achirim l'mechusar begodim. Do we not have additional sources for the problem of lacking of a full number of clothing? B'socha segrayim haGemara dona be'inyan shtuya yayin. The Gemara within the bracketed section will deal with the issue of Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash while intoxicated. This was a point that was addressed, was alluded to, on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara presented a brisa, which eventually used shtuya yayin, the issue of intoxication, as a jumping off point to teach me to the issue of mechusar begodim. So, but in this brackets, the Gemara will deal with the issue of shtuya yayin. Im shtuya yayin melamed al mechusar begodim or hefech. Are we to assume, like we were told at the top, that shtuya yayin, the issue of intoxication, serves as a source for mechusar begodim, or possibly to the contrary? Let us continue with the Gemara now in the brackets. Ashkechon mechusar begodim. We have up till this point found that in all avodos, in all types of korban, sacrificial service, even those kinds of activities that if a non-Kohen would do it, he would not be chayav miso b'dei shamayim. We mentioned in our previous year that a zar, a non-Kohen, is chayav miso, is chayav death at the hands of heaven if he does an avoda tama, which is an avodas matona. This includes things like zrikas adam, the sprinkling of the blood, haktorah, the offering of the innards on the mizbeach, the innards of the animal, and the pouring of wine or water, if there is a water libation, which is practiced on Sukkot. Those are 4 examples of, those are the 4 avodos that a zar would be chayav misa. There are many other avodos in the offering of a sacrifice. In all of those avodos, if a zar would do them, he would ruin the korban, but he wouldn't be chayav misa. The Gemara is pointing out that we have found out till this point that mechusar begodim is a problem for all kinds of activities that lead to the that are part of the offering of a korban. Shtuye yayin min olan. From where do we know that one who is intoxicated will ruin a korban, even if he is doing that kind of activity that a zar would not be chayav misa on? So the Gemara answers, Asya chuka chuka mi mechuser begodim. We've emphasized with a squiggle underline the first mem, and the reason for that is that the teaching we just had was that shtui yayin is derived from mechuser begodim. Mem means min, from. So that the source of the halachas concerning shtui yayin would be mechuser begodim. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, we have a little notation indicating mechuser begodim, teaching with an arrow pointing down to shtui yayin. We have a contrasting notation at the upper part of the page, the upper corner of the Gemara text, where we've written in shtui yayin and an arrow pointing down to mechuser begodim. We will come back to this notation in a moment. As we turn back to the Gemara asks a question, v'hot tano mi ulahavdil bein v'hulei konosiv lo. The tano, and this is a reference to the brisa that we saw at the bottom of Yud Zayin Mabez, the brisa opened up with a question, minayim l'shtui yayin, we're reading from the brisa over there, where it said, minayim l'shtui yayin shim ovad chilel. From where do we know that one who's intoxicated, if he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, that he is mechalel, that he ruins the sacrifice? So the brisa then answered, Talmud Lomar, yayin v'shecha al-tesht, u'lahavdil bein ha-kodesh u'vein ha-choyl. So the brisa cited in answering the issue of from where do I know shtui yayin mechal avoda, the brisa said I learned it from the pasuk ulahavdil, from that pasuk. So how can it be that in the Gemara at this point we're saying that shtui yayin is derived via a gezeira shava from mechuser begodim? Is it not so that ulahavdil was the source for shtui yayin and not the gezeira shava? The Gemara answers, mekami delekum gezeira shava. The brisa said that ulahavdil bein hakodesh bein hachol was the source for shtui yayin mechal avoda before we established the reliability of this gezeira shava, before it was known, before it was revealed. But now that we have the gezeira shava, so if you have any questions about from where do you know shtuye yayin as mechal avoda, the answer to that is right now we will learn it from mechuser begodim. The Gemara asks, v'hotana mechuser begodim, who dekol yolif mi shtuye yayin? But we saw at the top of the page that the Tana was saying that mechuser begodim is derived from shtuye yayin. That's a reference to the little note that we have in the upper corner of the Gemara text, as we alluded to before, where we had written in shtuye yayin, teaching me to mechuser begodim. In the last claim, we had mechuser begodim teaching me to shtuye yayin. So how do we resolve what we're saying now with that which it says at the end of the Tanaic source that ended at the top? The Gemara answers, Hochi Komar. Rashi points out that in fact shtuye yayin is derived from mechuser begodim. The question then is, what was the Tana interested in accomplishing when he said chuka chuka v'gzera shava? So the Gemara answers, hochi koma minayin shelo nachlok bein mechuser begodim l'shtuye yayin v'shelo rochutz yodayim v'raglayim. From where shall we know that we shall not make any distinction between mechuser begodim on the one hand and shtuye yayin and another kind of psul which is known as shelo rochutz yodayim v'raglayim? This is a kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash without having washed his hands and feet from the kior upon entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. So from where do we know that we shall make no distinction between mechuser begodim, where we know he is mechalel all avodos, even services that a zar would not be chayav misa on? How do we know to say the same thing with regard to shtuyayin and shelo rochutz yadayim raglayim, that they also would mechalel all kinds of avodas, not only the avodas that azar is chayav olei and misa. Talmud lomar chuka chuka l'gzera shava. The from the gzera shava that we are going to make from mechusar begodim to shtuyayin, we learn this idea that all of these different problems are mechalel avodos, even if they are not avodos that azar is chayav olei and misa. If we look at the Rashi, three lines under the Gemara text, V'hochi komar, minayin shelo nechalek, le'olam lo lemeilaf mechutz b'gora mi shtuyayayin osa. The Brisa has no intent of deriving mechutz b'gora from the topic of shtuyayayin. El lemeilaf shtuyayayin mi mechutz b'gora. Rather the opposite, to derive halachas concerning shtuyayayin, intoxication, from the case of mechutz b'gora. V'hochi komar, Lomadnu la'avodos shomisa shemischalalos b'shichrus. All we've learned is that avodos of misa, meaning those kind of avodos that a zar would be chayvel in misa, those kind of avodos would be ruined while in intoxication. Minayin shelo nachlok bein mechusar begodim l'shtuyayin. From where do we know that we should make no distinction between mechusar begodim, the problem of mechusar begodim, and the problem of shtuyayin? D'chihechi the mechusar begodim, just like we say by one who's lacking the full number of garments, kol avodos apsulos, all of his korban activities are unfit of shtuyayin. So too the same shall be with regard to intoxication, v'shelo rochatz kain, and that also one who didn't wash his hands and feet from the kior, that should be tamalomar chuka chuka. This is what the role of the gzera shava is. So now that we've established the power of the gzera shava to teach me that just like by mechusar begodim he is mechalal all kinds of avodos, so too shtuyayayin and shelo rochet yadayim raglayim are mechalal all kinds of avodos, even those that a zar is not achayev alei on misa. Well, if that be the case, elo lahavdil lomali, so since I'm not learning chilul avoda anymore from lahavdil, so what does this pasuk of lahavdil come to teach me? Answer, lichad rav, it teaches me a practice or a halacha of Rav. The Rav, the famous great Talmudic Rav of the early Amoraic period, lo moikim amoira olei miyoy matova lechavrei mishum shichrus. After he ate his Yom Tov meal, he would no longer say his public shiur, because during his public shiur there would be the need to issue piske halacha, and after eating a Yom Tov meal, one would as part of the meal would drink wine and become a little bit inebriated. As a result of that, he would lack the necessary clarity of thought in order to render accurate halachic decisions. And this is learned from the psukim that we were just dealing with, where it says, Yayin v'shechar al teisht, one shall not drink wine, lahavdil bein ha-kodesh v'bein ha-chol. Because if one does drink wine, he won't be able to make a distinction between the kodesh and the chol. And this we've dashed underlined in the Rashi, about a little less than halfway down the wide section on the lower part of the page, v'chein b'shal sh'atabo l'havdi l'horos bein davar kedusha l'davar chol al tehi shichrus. That when you're coming to make the distinction between the holy and the non-holy, do not be in a state of intoxication. The Gemara now continues with the general issue, and that is sources for mechusar begodim mechalal avoda. The Gemara now asks a question that will last about 3-4 lines. You can see we have a length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Akati mehocha nafka. And still, are we learning from here? And from here is a reference to the pasuk of Vahoyso lehem kuhuna shmos perichov tes pasuk tes. This was the source that was quoted under our first triangle. Is that really the source for mechusar begodim? Mehosam nafka. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish al ha-mizbeach. We've dashed on the line the word ha-kohen, and it's explained the kihuno, while he is in his priesthood. Limeid al kohen gadol shelovash bigdei kohen hedyo v'ovad. This teaches us that if you have a kohen gadol that wore the, who was expected to wear 8 garments, and he did not, he wore the 4 garments of a common kohen, avodas psula. So we see that a kohen gadol who is supposed to wear 8 garments and he doesn't, he wears the 4 garments of a kohen hedyot. That's a form of mechuser begonim. He's lacking in the appropriate number, the correct number for him. And we see that from that pasuk, we learn that if he wears the incorrect number, the fewer clothing, his avodas psula is ruined. The Gemara answers, "E mehosam." Had I had the pasuk, "E mehosam," Rashi explains, is a reference back to the pasuk of under source 1 of the Hoysilhem Kuna. "E mehosam." Had I had just that source, "Havi amino hani mili avoda demakva kapora," I would have thought that when is mechuser begadim a problem? Only if it's a phenomenon when doing that type of avoda that is essential for achieving atonement. Avoda delo ma'akfa kapora. However, doing non-essential activities. When we say non-essential, we're talking in the context of achieving atonement. I would think that lo, that he wouldn't mechala avoda. The example over here is the issue of Nesinas Eish, the placing or the creation of a fire on the Mizbeach. Why is this called an Avodah Shena Makfa Kapora? So it's pointed out that there was an Eish Yoredes Min HaShemayim anyway. It's a non-essential action for the Kohen to have created his own fire. There was a fire anyway there from that miraculously descended from heaven. So I would have thought that for such activities, since it's not me'akev kapora, he doesn't need to be with his full kohen wardrobe. Therefore, I have this pasuk of Enosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eishalom mizbeach to tell me that even for these kind of avodos, he must be wearing the full number of clothing. The Gemara asks, "Va'akati mehocha nafko?" But still, is this our source? Mehosa naf? We have another source. The Orchu b'nei Aaron ha-kohenim eshan nesochim v'chulei ha-kohanim, and we emphasize the word of the pasuk ha-kohanim, and we darshan it b'ki hunan, while they are in their kohen statehood status. Mikan l'kohen hedyot shelovash bigdei kohen gadol v'ovad. Avodas Psula, from here we are darshaning that a Kohen Hedyot, who's supposed to have 4 garments, and he puts on the 8 garments of a Kohen Gadol and does Avoda, he ruins the Avoda. So we see that if you're wearing the inappropriate number of clothing, that he ruins Avoda. We can see that from over here. Even though over here it's an example of wearing more than the required number, but for our purposes, we can say you're wearing the inappropriate number. So would this not be a source for what we're looking for? The Gemara answers, "E mehosam." Had I had just the posuk of v'hoyselem kuna, once again, this is the posuk that was cited as under source 1. Had I just had that, havi aminohani mili chisur, that the only time there's a problem is if you have a reduced number. For example, a kohen gadol wearing the big day kohen hedyot, avol yisur lo. But if I had just source 1, I wouldn't have known that an extra number represents a problem. Kamash malon, this is the fourth pasuk that was cited, teaches me that an extra number of clothing also presents a problem. So as we look over the Gemara, what we've seen is a number of sukkim that were cited informing us through the Droshas Chazal that a mechuser begadim, or an inappropriate number of clothing worn by the kohen, the non-appropriate number worn by the kohen, ruins avoda. Why do I need so many sukkim to tell me this basic idea? So the Gemara fields that question fielded that question each stage of the way. Namely, what would I have thought had I not had these additional sources? We continue in the Gemara with a new topic. We have a no say heading on the side. We call this Levishas Bigdei Kehuna, the wearing of the Kohen clothing. Dinim Hakshurim Lematzav HaBegonim. And we're going to be focusing on different halachas concerning the state of the clothing. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and in our marking system we strive to frame off all Tanaic sources as they appear in the Gemara to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara text. This source will continue to the second line first word on Amid Beis. Hoyu Merushalim, this is describing a case many different situations as far as the clothing are concerned. Here it says Merushalim, they were dragging on the ground. Misulokim, or they appeared to be too high up on the Kohen. They were appeared to be too short. The Gemara will deal with these in detail later. Mishuchokim, they're worn out or old. V'avad, and he does avoda with while wearing clothing, either dragging on the ground or appearing a bit too short or worn out. Avodasuk shera. These different states of clothing don't ruin his avoda. Lovash shnei michnosayim. Let's say he wears, instead of one, he wears two michnosayim. It's the name of a type of clothing, a pants type garment. Shnei avneitim, two belts. Chosar achas, or lacking one of the required clothing. Yeser achas, or an extra garment. Oy shohoisolo ritio al besoro, or he has a type of bandage on his flesh. Tachas bigodo, under the bigdei kuna, under the garments, the Kohen garments, which would serve as a chatzitza, an interposition between his flesh and the garment. The expectation is that his skin is in direct contact with the garment, and if this ritia, this bandage on his flesh, would serve as a chatzitza, an interposition between the garment and his flesh. Oy shohoyu mitush toshim, or if the garments are soiled with clay, oy mikuroyin, or torn, the avad, and he serves, does base hamikdash service in that with clothing in that state, avodas psula, these would ruin the avoda. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. We're going to refer to Shmuel as number one because we want to contrast this with a comment that we'll see in the Gemara a little on the next line, which we featured with a number two. So Shmuel says, Merushalim ksherin, misulokin psulim. This, of course, seems to be against that which we just learned in the source. We will deal with that in the Gemara itself. So for the time being, we see Shmuel, and we've circled him to enable us to contrast him with Rav, who appears a few lines later. He says, Merushalim ksherim, that means if they're dragging, it's okay. If they're misulokim, it's posel. And that point is at odds with what we learned in the Brisa, because Shmuel is being more stringent than the Brisa, and saying that if it's misulokim, if they appear a bit short, then it ruins the avoda. We have a brackets that appears in the Gemara right now, and this is simply for the ability to read Rav together with Shmuel to see how Rav is cholik on Shmuel. Shmuel just made a distinction between Merushalim and Misulokin. If we skip the bracketed section, we read Rav Omar Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh Psulim, whether it be Merushalim or Misulokin, it will ruin the avoda. Rav then represents a shita that's even more difficult with regard to the brisa that we learned before. That having been said, let's go back to our focus right now on Shmuel. Shmuel said that if they're merushalin, if they're dragging on the ground, the avod is kosher. If it's misulokin, psulin. The Gemara asks, v'hat tanya, but we have a source. We have a little arrow pointing to, indicating to look on Omid Aleph. So if you scan the Omid Aleph to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text like this arrow is positioned, you'll notice on Omid Aleph, toward the bottom of the page, the beginning of the Brisa, where it said Hoyu Merushalim, Misulokin, etc., and that clause ended up by saying Avodasuk Shera. So how can, with regard to Mesulokin, that Shmuel says Mesulokin Psulin, but the Braisa said that Mesulokin Ksherin. Omar Romi Bar Chama, Lo Kashya, Kan Shesilkon Al Yedei Avnate. The Braisa that says Mesulokin are Kosher, it's because the seeming shortness of the garments are a function of it being held up by a belt. In other words, the garment has the proper length, but for whatever reason, the Kohen supported it by a bit higher up on his body than is normally done through the avne, through the belt. Kan Shmuel that says Mesulokin or Psulin, the lesnu meikora klal, the garment is simply lacking the necessary amount of material, and that accounts for its appearance of being too short. So once again, the Braisa features a case where the garment is there is enough garment material, and a belt is simply holding it a bit high on his body. That's considered an acceptable situation in terms of the avoda. The avoda is kosher. Shmuel is talking about a garment that initially is too short, simply is lacking the necessary amount of fabric for this particular kohen. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Omar, Echot Zeh, the Echot Zeh, whether it be Mirushalin or Mesulokin, Psulin. Rashi, let us glance at the Rashi. Echot Zeh, V'echot Zeh, Echot Mirushalin, V'echot Mesulokin Yoyser Midai, Shelo Al Yedei Avnei, are puzzle. If they're too short, without the situation that Shmuel was describing, so Rav agrees that it's puzzle. Rav is adding that Mirushalin is also puzzle. Rav Huna Iklo La'argiza, Romo Le Bar Ushpizchine. Rav Huna visited a town called Argiza, and his host, the Ushpizchine, his host, or possibly the son of his host, raised a question to Rav Huna. Mi Omar Shmuel, what we've done with our markings is we featured the names Shmuel and Rav, and we've indicated on the side under our Mivneh heading, Kushos al Shmuel v'Rav nehabraisa shehichshir mirushalin mesulokin. So the first question is actually a review of the Gemara we saw on the upper part of this Omid. The innkeeper asks Rav Huna, did Shmuel say mirushalin sherim mesulokin psulin? Did Shmuel make a distinction between the two? V'hotanya. But we have the Braisa that we saw that said Mesulokin Sherim. So how can Shmuel tell us that Mesulokin are Psulin? Amale, so Rav Huna answered, Bar Mino Dahi. That's not a question. In other words, your question has an answer to it. The Shanya Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama has already answered that question. And we saw that on the fourth line from the top, and we also have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text to help you see where Rami Bar Chama appeared. So as far as resolving Shmuel with the Braisa, that has been done already. Elo L'Rav Kashya. But if there is a question to be asked, the question would concern Rav. Rav said that Mirushalin is puzzle. The Braisa said Mirushalin is kosher. V'chitema my Mirushalin. If you want to say that what is meant by Mirushalin that the Tana allows, Mesulokin al yedei avnate, the avnate megiz gai ogiz. These are clothing that are essentially they're too long. However, they are held up. Let's go over this point. The v'chitema, if you suggest that the kavona, that the intent of the braisa, which allows Mirushalin, is a case of it, the clothing that are in and of themselves too long, but they're being held up by a belt to their proper height. And in your mind's eye, the belt cuts off the extra material. If you say that pshat, Elo misulokin kashya, then we'll have a problem with, if you say that the belt, the fact that the belt holds something up is in abstract terms or in legal terms, is in effect cutting off the clothing. And in the case of Mirushalin Ksherim of the Brisa, the reason that it's kosher is because the otherwise too long garments are being held up to a proper height on his body by a belt, which in effect cuts off the clothing in your mind's eye. Well, then Misulokin will be a problem. How did we interpret the Misulokin of the Brisa to be kosher? We said that this Misulokin is essentially is a clothing being held up. In other words, it's a proper length garments that are simply being held up by the belt. But if you say that the belt cuts off in your mind's eye, in a legal sense, it's responsible for the cutting off of the garment, then I will then now, in the case of Misulokin, have a too short garment. So I won't have an explanation for the brisa that says Misulokim Ksherin. Omar Rebbe Zera, Rav Chada Toni. Rav doesn't have, in his understanding of the brisa, in his teaching of the brisa, he doesn't have two separate cases, namely Mirushalin and Misulokin. But rather, he understands the brisa is talking about one case, as follows: Mirushalin shesilkun al yedei avnei kosherin. That if the garments are essentially too long, however they're being held up by a belt, that's kosher. And Rav that spoke about a Mirushalin being pasul, that's a case where there's no belt holding them up; they're simply dragging on the ground. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. Before we go further in the Gemara, we want to take note of the fact that we're about to start a long point. This is indicated by a nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a nun with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the point. We also have a nosei heading on the outside margin, Nisyono shel Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti, an attempt of Rav Yirmiyahu from Difti, Lahamid Mirushalim Shalo Silkon Kimachlokas Tanoim, to feature the case of dragging garments that have not been raised up by a belt, and do they ruin the Avoda? This was Rav's point, that issue was a Machlokas Tanoim. Haim Amrinon Yeser Keman Diise Domi Olo. Are we to say that when you have something that's extra, that it's considered there, or it's considered as if it's not there? In other words, if you have something that's too long and dragging on the ground, you have in effect extra material. Do we in our mind's eye view that extra material as if it's not there? So Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti wants to say that this issue is a machlokas tanoim. What happens now in the Gemara? We now enter a sugya concerning tzitzis. Tzitzis are the fringes that many of us are quite familiar with, are placed on the corners of a four-cornered garment. If one had a garment that was, let us say, a round garment, that would not require tzitzis, but a four-cornered garment requires tzitzis. If we look on the, before we go into the Gemara, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, beged shel hei kanfois, a five-cornered garment, ha'im chayev betzitzis, is a five-cornered garment bound to have tzitzis on it? We'll also talk about a ksus lailo, a pajamas, even nighttime garments, ksus suma, the clothing of a person lacking sight, a blind man's garments. Let's now turn to the Gemara, and when we get to the end of the point, we'll then recount what the issue is. Omar of Yirmiyahu Midifti, Mirushalim Shalo Silkon, you can see these three words, we've used a phrase marking to bind them together into a phrase. Merushalan are the long garments that have not been raised with a belt. Tanoihi is a machlokes tanoim. Does Merushalan shelo sukan present a problem? Does it present a problem because of the extra fabric that's dragging on the ground? So he wants to say that this is a machlokes tanoim. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and we're calling this Aleph. We'll contrast this with the Tanaic source Beis a little bit later in the Gemara. Before we get into the details of the source, let's just take a look at some of our dashed underlinings, and you'll see how the markings help you to see the sugya at a glance. The first source has the expression Chomesh Amur, that's dashed underlined, that Chomesh, a five-cornered garment, is Chayev and Tzitzis. The second source, which we call labeled Beis, as you can see a number of lines later, the next, it's a shorter source, we've dashed underlined the expression Velo Chomesh, meaning a five-cornered garment is not bound to have Tzitzis. So how do you explain these two sources? How do you resolve it, or how do you explain the apparent difference between them? That on the one hand, a five-cornered garment is chayev and tzitzis, the second source says it's not. So the Gemara will suggest that the point of controversy is, how do you look at extra? Is extra viewed as if it's not there, or do we not say that? If you say that extra is as if it's not there, so that even though there are five corners, well, we look at the fifth corner if it's as if it's not there, and you have a standard four-corner garment, and that requires tzitzis. That will explain source Aleph. Taking that idea and carrying it back to our discussion about the two long garments, do we say that the fact that there's extra fabric, that's a problem, or can we view it in our mind's eye as if it's not there? And if, of course, we can say that it is as if it's not there, it would not be considered a problem. The Gemara, after this mahalach, after this approach, will reject what we've just said. Now, let's turn to the Gemara itself. The Sanya, the first Braisa, Al Arba Kanfois Ksuscha. The Pasuk is talking about the placing of tzitzis on a four-cornered garment. It says you should place it on the four corners of your garment. Arba Velo Shalosh, a four-cornered garment, and not a three-cornered garment. The Rashi explains a three-cornered garment isn't necessarily a triangular garment. It may be a four-cornered garment, but the fourth one of the corners you cut with a scissors or with a knife in a rounded form, so that it doesn't come to an angular edge. It's rounded, so that you'd have three angular corners, and the fourth corner is now angular, is now rounded. So the Pasuk is saying on a four-cornered garment one places tzitzis, and not on a three-cornered garment. Oyeno elo arba velo chomesh. Or maybe the Pasuk is saying on a four-cornered garment and not on a five-cornered garment. Kishu omer asher techasebo. There's another Pasuk that this expression appears, asher, another phrase in the Pasuk that says asher techasebo, an extra, we'll say this is an extra expression. Hare balas chomesh amur. So from the fact that an extra phrase appears in the Pasuk, it's coming to include a five-cornered garment as being chayev in tzitzis. Ho mana mikayim arba. So if I'm including a five-cornered garment, what do I do with the fact that the Pasuk says four? Answer, four arba velo shalosh. Four is stated to exclude three. Uma ro'is l'rabo izbalas chomesh u'lehosi balas shalosh. What is it that causes you to include in the obligation of tzitzis a five-cornered and exclude from the obligation of tzitzis a three-cornered? Answer, marbani balas chomesh. I am going to include a five-cornered garment as being bound to have tzitzis. She'esh b'chal chomesh arba, because within five you have four. You have four plus one. And the basic obligation of tzitzis is on a four-cornered garment. Five has four in it plus one. Umotzi ani bala sholosh, but I will exclude a three-cornered garment, she'ein b'chlal sholosh arba, because within three, three is less than four. You don't have four within three. Therefore, three doesn't meet the minimum number of corners, and hence it's exempt from tzitzis. V'tanyo idach, we have another source that says al arba kanfois ksuscha, arba v'lo shalosh, arba v'loi chomesh. This approach is saying four and not five, and certainly not three. But we're excluding a five-cornered garment as well. My lav behal komiflegi. What must be the point of controversy between these two sources? The mor savar, the second source, we've called this the base, the second source, yeser keman de'isei domi. An extra amount, an extra corner, in this case, the fifth, is as if it is there. You have to reckon with it. And therefore, I can't refer to a five-cornered garment, the pasuk that says arba kanfos. So that's yeser keman de'isei, as it, the extra is as if it is there. In other words, it's present. You have to recognize it as it is. Umor savar, the first source that said a five-cornered garment is chayav and tzitzis, the five-cornered garment in effect conforms to the requirement of four corners, because the extra corners keman de'isei domi. It's as if it's not there. So you don't have five in your mind's eye, you have only four, and that's what's chayav and tzitzis. And once again, not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, this would carry back to the issue of the Kohen garments that are dragging on the ground. If you say, if you would take this approach, that the extra material that's dragging on the ground is as if it's not there, then you would have no problem of yisur begadim, of excess. The Gemara says, loy. We reject this analysis as far as the explanation of these two Tanaic sources, the Aleph and Bay sources. Dekulei almo keman de'isei domi. Everyone will agree, both of the sources will agree, that the fifth corner is as if it is there, and we don't call it arba, it's five. So then the question is, what about source Aleph that says it gets tzitzis? V'shaini hocha, deravi rachmona asher techasebo. The reason that a five-cornered garment is bound to have tzitzis is because there is a gezeres hakosuv. There's a pasuk that says asher techasebo, which comes to include a five-cornered garment. Once again, it's the five-cornered garment is bound to have tzitzis, not because it's viewed as if the fifth corner is not there. It is there. But even so, the expression asher techasebo comes to suggest that not only a four-cornered garment is chayav in tzitzis, but a five-cornered garment as well. V'idach, hai asher techasebo amai ovidlei, source Bays that says that a five-cornered garment is exempt from tzitzis, what does he do with the expression of asher techasebo? What does it come to include? Miboyalei l'chadetanya, I need it for the following source. And the following source will just jump the gun and tell you that we're going to come to include the ksus suma, the garment of a blind man. That even though in the Torah it says u'risim oso, that one puts the tzitzis on the corners of his garments and is expected to be able to see them, and the blind man, we understand he cannot see it. Nevertheless, the pasuk asher techasebo will come to include the ksus suma as being chayav in tzitzis as well. We've dashed underline in the source the posuk asher techasebo, so that it helps it stand out as being the main part, the point of this source. We were asking, what does the Bays Bryce above do? What does the author of that Tana do with asher techasebo when he exempts a five-cornered garment from tzitzis? So here is the answer. Miboy alei lichdesanyo, we need it for the following teaching. Uri'isem oisoi. That's from the pasuk of tzitzis. Prat l'ksus laila. We thereby exclude a nighttime garment. Nighttime, there's no light, and one would be unable to see his tzitzis. And the pasuk says, "You shall be able to see them." So a nighttime garment is excluded. Oeno ela prat l'ksusuma. Or maybe the Torah is saying that a blind man's garment is exempt from tzitzis. When the pasuk comes and says asher techasebo, hare ksus suma amur, ksus suma is included as being chayav, as being obligated in having tzitzis. Ha ma ani mekayim u'risim oso. So then, what am I going to derive from the expression of that you shall see them? Prat l'ksus laila. That comes to exclude nighttime garments. Uma royis l'rabas ksus suma u'lehoitzi ksus laila. What is it that you see fit to include the blind man's garment and exclude the nighttime garment. Marba anik susumo, I will include in the obligation of tzitzis the blind man's garment, sheyeshna b'riya etzel achirim. Other people, sighted people, they can see his tzitzis. Umotzi, and as a result of that, as a result of the fact that others can see his tzitzis, we can still refer to that the expression of u'ri'isem oso, that you shall see them. Umotzi aniksus laila, however, I am going to exclude nighttime garments, she'eno b'ir etzel chirim. At nighttime, there's no light, no one can see the garment and the tzitzis. Hence, the pajamas and those clothing that are designed for the night, for nighttime wearing, are exempt from tzitzis. The idach, the aleph source that we saw above, nafkolei, he will learn out ksusuma as chayav and tzitzis, may asher. From, we have the pasuk said asher techaseba. So apparently techaseba for that particular mandomar, for the aleph source, techaseba includes a five cornered garment, and the word asher comes to include the ksusuma, the blind man's garment. The idach, the second source, the second opinion that we saw, the tani idach above that we labeled beis, who does not include a five-cornered garment as being obligated tzitzis. So he says asher lo dorish. He doesn't find any thing to include or darshan from the word asher. So he's left with the phrase asher techasebo as a single entity, from which he explains that we learn ksusuma is chayav in tzitzis. But he doesn't use that phrase to, he doesn't break the phrase down into component parts and say that I'm going to have a separate drasha from Asher to include anything else. The topic heading that we have on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, michnasei bad, dvorim hanimodim mibad. We actually don't have to talk about michnasei bad, we just feature the word bad, and we'll take note of a posuk that we've included on the inside margin, Vayikra tes zayin posuk dalet. The posuk says, "Ksoines bad kodesh yilbash, umichnesei bad yual besoroi, uvavneit bad yachvor, uvamitznefes bad yitznoif, bigdei kodesh heim v'rochatz b'mayim es besoru levesham." The posuk refers to a ksoines, michnasayim, an avne, and a mitznefes. Four garments, and with each garment the expression bad appears. What does the word bad mean? What do we derive from it? So let's now see this in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, bad shiyu shabutz, it should be of linen. The pasuk then Vayukra Tazayin is talking about the Avodas Yom Kippurim. And the Avodas Yom Kippurim was done by the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, for special Yom Kippur related activities, he would wear four white linen clothing, and not the standard eight big day zav of the Kohen Gadol. Once again, part of Yom Kippur had him wearing these four white garments. So we're continuing darshaning the word bad. The first drasha was that bad teaches me it shall be made of linen. Bad shiyu chadoshim, it shall be new. Ubad, bad shiyu shizurim, that it's made of twisted threads. Bad shiyu chutan kofel shisha, that each strand each thread is made of six strands. Bad shelo yilbash shel choyol imohem, that he shall not wear any mundane daily clothing with them, but rather just the four garments. Omale Abaye the Rav Yosef. Abaye says, as far as he goes over these drushes and says, Bishlama shiyu shel butz. I understand the significance of telling me that bad tells me they should be linen. Ha komashmalan, it informs me, butz in midi achrino lo, linen yes, and not of any other material. Ela bad shiu chadoshim, the second point that was featured in the source, that is telling me it shall be made of, it shall be new clothing. Chadoshim in,
Shchakin lo. Are you telling me that if they would be worn out, they would be old clothing, they would not be suitable? V'atanya. But we've learned mishu chakin ksherim. We saw this in a brisa. This brisa was found. The shuchokin was found at the bottom of Yud Ches Omer Aleph. So, if a problem is being raised. Abaye is raising the problem that the Bryce is saying something here that counters that which the implication that this Bryce has runs counter to that which was taught explicitly in the previous Bryce. Omar Le, so Rav Yosef answers, Ule Tamech, according to you, drosha number 4, Bad Shiu Chutan Kofel Shisha. The drosha here said that Bad tells me that it should be a 6-stranded thread. That's not the implication of the word Bad, though. Bad Chad Chad Lechudei Mashma. The word Bad means something individual, like we say the word Levad, alone. Elo Hachi Komar. Rather, you should understand the source thusly. And with the new understanding, you will find that which it teaches, Shiu Chadoshim, doesn't run counter to the source that said old clothing are also kosher. We will see very shortly that when it teaches me Shiu, that it should be Chadoshim, that's the best way. That's Lemitzvah, but it's not Me'akev. It's not a binding condition. So we now have a rereading of the source, and hence we've featured it in a frame as well. We say Hochi Komar Begodim Shinemar Bohen Bad. Kohen clothing concerning which the word Bad appears. Srichen Shiu Shabutz Chadoshim Shizurim Shie Chutan Kofol Shisha. They should have these characteristics. They should be made of linen. They should be new, with twisted thread and 6-stranded. Yesh mehem lemitzvah. Some of these elements are preferred. Lemitzvah means the best way to do it, but not binding. And of them we have chadoshim. This idea of the idea that they should be chadoshim, they should be new. That's the best way. That's the preferred way. However, if it were mishuchakim, they would also be kosher. Yesh mehem la'akev. There are some elements that are binding, that without which they would be unkosher, and those include the boots, the necessity of it being linen, made from twisted threads that are 6-stranded. The Gemara asks, "Mimai dahai bad kisnahu?" From where do we know that the word bad indicates something made of linen, which linen comes from the flax plant? So from where do we know that bad is a reference to pishton or linen? Before we go further, we have a structural note. We have a nosei mivneh heading on the outside margin. The aleph and beis that appear in diamonds are makoros shebad equals pishton. We'll have two sources to teach us that bad is an indication that it should be of linen. Omar of Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Dovor Ha'ula Minakarka Bad Bevad. It's a reference to that which grows from the ground in a singular fashion, in single units. And it's the nature of the flax reed that it grows as singular independent reeds. The Gemara asks, Ema Amra, maybe if you say bad means something singular, it could be a reference to wool. Wool is produced from the hair growing out of the back of a sheep. Each hair grows from a separate pore, or a separate follicle. The Gemara answers, well, Amra Miftzal. Strands of hair split, something we often refer to as split hairs. So since it's split, it's not singular. The Gemara asks, well, kisno nami miftzal, the flax reed also splits. The Gemara answers, it splits, but that's only when you hammer it, when you beat it, so it then turns, it splits into separate fibers. Al yaday lakusa bifsal. But as it grows as a singular reed. It, the idea of it, the fact that it splits, that's true, but only if you hit it, you bang it. Ravina Omar Mehocha. From the following, we will discover that bad means pishtan, means flax or linen. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and we emphasize momentarily that we're talking about a pasuk in Yecheskel. It says, "Pare pishtim yu al rosham, u'michnase pishtim yu al mosnehem, lo yachgiru vayoza." One has to explain a little more than just citing the pasuk. We've dashed on the line u'michnase pishtim. In general, when describing the michnase kehanim, they're referred to as michnase bad. Of course, bad was our unclear expression. So we use the Pasuk in Yecheskel to clarify what bad means. And here you have Michnasayim referred to as Michnasay Pishtim. Pishtim is a known expression referring to linen. Omale Rav Ashi the Ravina. The Ha, this issue of the definition of bad, ad to Osi Yecheskel, until Yecheskel came along, how would we have known it? Ulitamech, according to you, that that is bothered by knowledge prior to Yecheskel. Ha diomar Rav Chisda. What about Rav Chisda's teaching? Dovar ze mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. The following we do not learn from Psukim in the Torah. Mi divrei Yecheskel ben Buzi lo lamadnu. However, from the prophet Yecheskel ben Buzi, we do learn the following. Kol ben Nechor. Erel leiv ve'erel basar lo yavoi el mikdoshi. That's a pasuk which indicates anyone, a kohen, who is an erel leiv. This is a person who's rebellious nature, rebellious, namely philosophically rebellious against Judaism. Erel basar is a kohen that was not circumcised. They are not to come to the Beis HaMikdash to serve. Well, if you, that idea of an orel, whether it be an orel lev or an orel boser, is not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no posuk in the Torah that indicates that. And here you have a posuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel lived many years. He lived at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash period. What about all those hundreds of years until Yecheskel came around? Ad shebo Yecheskel minolon, from until Yecheskel came along, from where was it known that an orel would be ushered to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? Ela gemara gemiri law. You'll have to say that was an oral tradition that was passed down generation to generation. The Osi Yecheskel v'asmechei akra. Yecheskel came along in his time and recorded that oral tradition in a pasuk. Hachanami, so too with regard to the definition of bad being pishtim gemara gemiri law, it was an oral tradition, v'chule, and Yecheskel came along. The v'chule means etc., and like we just got finished saying, and Yecheskel came along and recorded that oral tradition in a posuk. Mai lo yachgeru bayoza, this is a quote from the posuk we had just above. If you need to find it, you can take advantage of the arrows to the immediate right hand side of the if you take a look at the little squiggled arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see that it's quoted just a few lines up, that you see another squiggled arrow at the end of the posuk that started off with Pore Pishtem. It said Lo Yachgeru Bayoza. What does that mean? Omar Abaye Lo Yachgeru B'mokim Shemazim. There was the Big Day Kohen had, while the Kohen was wearing his clothing, there was a belt that he wore as well. So the garment should not be girded to his body at a point at which there would be sweat, where the body sweats. Kedisanya, as is taught in the following brisa, Kishem Chogrim, Rashi says, Kishem Chogrim Avneitem B'Shas Avoda, when they gird themselves in their Kohen belts for during the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, during the Korban sacrifice service, the brisa goes on to say, Ein Chogrim Lo Lamato Mimosneim, they shouldn't gird themselves too low on their bodies, be an area, let's say, below the waist, velo lamalo me'atzi lehen, and not above, not an area above their elbows. Elo keneged atzile yedem. Rather, the appropriate place for them to be girded would be opposite the area, opposite the elbows. In other words, that area of the body that's opposite the elbows. The idea of b'mokum shemazin is a Rashi talks about that at the bottom of the Omid, three lines from the very bottom. At the end of the line, you see b'mokum shemazin, b'mokum shaboser nichpal al boser, the place where there's folds of flesh, umischameim umazia, and the flesh lying on other flesh would cause sweating. So that is the case below the waist. There's flaps of flesh or fat that cause additional sweating than on other parts of the body. And above the elbows as well, that's an area that the upper arm is generally speaking close to the upper torso, the sides of the upper torso, and there isn't, and that's an area that tends to sweat more also. A little story comes to accompany this Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar li Huna Bar Noson. Rav Ashi tells us that Huna Bar Noson told him the following: Zimno chada have koimno kamei de Izgader Malko. One day I was standing in the presence of the king Izgader. This is the name of the Persian monarch. The have madli li hemainoi. My belt was around me a bit higher than should be. V'taise nihale, and he lowered it. He pulled my garment down so that it should be properly positioned. The Omali, and the king, this Persian monarch, told me, the speaker is Huna Bar Noson, he told me, Mamleches Koyanim v'goy kodosh k'siv b'chu, regarding the Jewish people, they are referred to as a kingdom of priests and a holy people. The reference to Kohanim is what is the reason that this little story is brought in, and the allusion is to the fact that the Kohanim had a specific and proper way to have their garments sitting on their body, and Huna Bar Noson, as being a Jew, part of the priestly kingdom, so to speak, the Mamleches Kohanim, should wear his garments also properly, namely not with his belt so high up. So the king served the Jew in helping him position his clothing in the best way. Ki asoi kamei da meimar, when I came to Ameimar, Omar Li, so Ameimar told me, Ikayim Boch, there was fulfilled in you the following pasuk, Vohoyu Melochim Omanayach, that kings will be your servants. Here you have an illustration of something that will happen, Mirtz Hashem, in the future, that already he experienced on a personal level. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.